directly in opposition to adverse circumstances. And really, that is part of the definition of faith. It is working in, it is trusting and believing through adverse circumstances. When it doesn't appear, when we can't see it, by faith Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. All of these working in and through adverse circumstances. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Didn't know. He didn't have the whole plan laid out for him. He just up and left. And he was a man of quite an estate, and he just left at the bidding of God. Against his sight, against the circumstances, in opposition to the circumstances. He served in opposition to the circumstances. We tend to say things like, well, and we make excuses. We all do it. When things are different, I'll do this. And when life is a little calmer, I'll do this. And we tend to say that, but we see that faith operates regardless of circumstance. And mostly, in all of these cases, in opposition, not just regardless, but in direct opposition to circumstance, is when faith is seen. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, those three generations, living in tents, not settling. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age. That's her adverse circumstance. It was beyond age, and yet, by faith, she received strength to conceive seed, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They died living in adverse circumstances. They died in opposition to those things, trusting in the Lord, believing His promises. And the bulk of our message will come from verses 13 through 16 here. And in these verses, I see a progression that stands out to me in their lives. And Lord willing, if I can bring these out as the Lord gave them to me, I believe the thoughts will gel very much with the things that we heard this morning. These all died in faith, verse 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. We're going to list five things in this progression here. But in the beginning of their experience with God, they had had a vision, having seen them afar off. They began to believe. They saw and began to believe in the promises of God, having seen them afar off. John chapter 8. Keep your finger in Hebrews. Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, and of whom ye say, Notice, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him. Began by titling the message, What Do We Believe? What do we believe? And there is a gap many times, I'd say many times, pretty much all the time, between what we say and what we believe. As I begun to think about this message, I begun to think, I really don't know what I believe. Now you might get worried there. But if we're honest with ourselves, what do we believe? What do we really, not what we say we believe, but what do we believe? Every person in the book of Hebrews, because of what they believed, lived contrary to their circumstances. Every one of them. Jesus here rebuking these Jews. He said in verse 54, of whom ye say that he is your God. And then he says, verse 55, yet ye have not known him. But I know him, and if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Notice verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. He saw it. The first part of this progression of their faith is they saw the promises of God. If we look back there, and we won't read all of the account, and it was mentioned in the conference how that so many of these people in the Old Testament had an understanding of a resurrected Savior. They believed that. They had no Bible to read. They had no church to attend. And yet they had received a vision and they believed in a resurrected Lord. Abraham believed it when he said, the Lord shall provide himself a lamb. Job believed it when he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he said that, you know, despite the skin worms destroy this body, that he knew that he would see the Redeemer. They had seen them afar off. The very early stages of their faith, they had seen a vision of the promises of God. But I'm afraid that that's where the story ends for most of us, had seen them afar off. And that's about it. The promises of God are something afar, far away for someday, way down in eternity. But it goes much further than that there in Hebrews 11, verse 13. It's much more than that. Notice the next phrase in Hebrews 13, after they had seen them afar off, and were is a being verb, a verb that states state of being. They were something different. They had seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. They were persuaded of the promises of God. I believe that comes from a meeting like what was talked about this morning. And oh, how we need that. How we need more meetings. How we need to be persuaded of more things. All of these, in this, he's explaining in verse 13, he's summarizing the lives of these people. These people were persuaded of these things. So persuaded that they lived in tents. They were so persuaded of the promises of God that were coming. It was a present reality. And their lives bore that out. They were persuaded of these things. We remember when the Apostle Paul was preaching to Agrippa, and in Acts 26, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul couldn't persuade him of the promises of God. That's the work of the Lord. If you're going to be persuaded, it's something that has to happen. Romans 8, 38. We'll turn there just. The confession of of Paul. He says, "For I am persuaded." Again, am is a state of being verb. That was his state of being. I am persuaded. That was his condition. His condition was a condition of having been persuaded. And there are things that we all need to be more persuaded of. We really do. And again, we make excuses and we say, well, when life is a little different, I'll do this or that. No, the reason is we just don't believe those things. Truth of the matter is, really, in many ways, we're heretics. We really are. There are many ways that there's a great gap between what we say we believe and what we really believe. Getting back to Hebrews 11, continuing with this progression, they were persuaded of them and embraced them. Now that's a whole nother step there. Those of us that have been saved and the Spirit of God has begun to work in us, we have seen the promises of God. We may be persuaded of the promises of God, but it is another thing to completely embrace them. To embrace the things that God teaches in His Word. That implies that we've been surrendered to those things. If we just go back to some of these that we've read about that are being summarized in this verse, Noah being warned of God of things not yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. I'm afraid that if we were given the same vision, our reaction would be more like to buy an umbrella and a raincoat rather than move with fear and build an ark. There's a difference between comprehending and seeing the things of God and embracing them, taking them in, loving the things of God, enjoying the things of God. It radically changed their lives. That's the difference when you embrace them. It radically changed their lives. As I mentioned before, I'm afraid sometimes that we don't believe what we really think we believe. We say we believe things, but the distance between what we say we believe and what we really believe, I believe at times, if we were honest with ourselves, we don't believe there's a Holy Spirit. Because we never wait for Him, we just go on and do what we would do. We never trust Him to work in the lives of others. You know, and we could look at a lot of things like this in our lives. We just sang several songs about the coming of Christ. I'm afraid we don't really believe. If we look at our lives, don't believe in a coming Christ. Really don't. Else each day would be radically different, as their lives were radically different. When they were persuaded of these things and embraced these things, their lives were radically different. And you say, well, my life would be different but for the circumstances. No, remember, they all worked in opposition to their circumstances. We make excuses for our unbelief by saying, well, when things are different. We could do the same with tithing. When my life is different, I'll tithe. Well, you don't believe in tithing. I'm sorry. You say you do, but there's a far cry between what we say we do and what we do. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 8, the thoughts in this they don't go along with necessarily what we're saying, but the principles behind what is in this verse really help enforce what we're looking at. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Now, obviously, human responsibility is being taught there, is the overall teaching. But we see in this that someone whose life doesn't bring forth what he says he believes, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He's a heretic. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of anything else, if your life doesn't bear out what you say you believe, regardless of circumstance. You say, well, when circumstances are different. No, all through the book of Hebrews, the circumstances were against them to do the things that they needed to do. They all worked in opposition to what was standard, what was normal, what was available. And we deny the faith, and we're worse than an infidel. Think about the qualifications of a preacher that are given in the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's interesting that the qualifications of a preacher don't say, well, this is what he has to believe about the Lord's Supper. This is what he has to believe about. Well, that just goes without saying. I mean, obviously, what he says he believes has to be right. But in these things, we see whether he really believes what he says he believes. Husband of one wife, in verse 2, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? All of these things, and then he goes into the deacons as well. Your actions, your life, is what you believe. And if you look at your life, it will tell you what you believe. Getting back to Hebrews 11, we saw that they embraced them. And then the next one there is, and confessed. Notice, again, we have these state of being verbs, that they were. Confessed what they were. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what they were. That you can only confess what you are. That's all you can do. You can only confess what you are. Trying to preach or teach anything other than what you are is a miserable business. I'm sure every preacher's tried to teach people to live beyond how they live themselves, and it's miserable business. It really is. They could only confess what they were. They could only confess what they were what they had embraced and what they were persuaded of. You know, the reason why we often don't witness in our daily lives goes back to what we really believe and what we're really persuaded of, what we really embrace in our hearts. Sometimes we try to get this backwards. We try to witness, we try to do the work of the Lord, and we're not all that persuaded ourselves or haven't embraced the things of God ourselves, and that doesn't work. Verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Their lives declare these things. Abraham's life, he lived in tents. His life just bore witness of everything that he believed. Notice verse 15, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. The interesting thing there in verse 15 is the result of these things, of having seen the promises, having been persuaded of them, and having embraced them, they became unmindful of the world. What a wonderful state to live in. To where we have so embraced the things of God that the world has dropped right out of our minds. The things of the world are no longer forefront. They're not even in the back. They have dropped out of our mind. What a place to be. What a life to live. To where the things of the world have just simply left our mind. Verse 16, and this is the last step here, if we could call them steps. And this one is perhaps one of the most impressive of all of these things. But now they desire. If we go back to Abraham in verse number 8, Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. In the early stages of faith, which I'm afraid is where most everyone lives, he saw the promises afar off. But at that phase of his life, and I only can base this on my own experience, probably didn't really desire to leave his home and his ranch behind. But he had seen the promises afar off, and he'd begun to be persuaded of them, and he'd begun to follow. But in verse 16, we see, but now, there has been transformation. There has been time that has passed in their life, but now, they desire. Serving God in the beginning of your faith may have been contrary to most of your desires, as you were pressing through them and breaking through them by faith. And as they lived their lives, I believe, became more persuaded. And persuasion, as they became more convinced and more persuaded, they began to embrace them. Like, this is my destiny. This is my God, and these are my convictions, and this is what I believe, and this is what I have. And then from there it was, this is what I want. This is what I want. I want this. Though they might have had opportunity to have the old again, it was no longer what they wanted. And oh, how that'll change so many lives. This was now their desire. As they progressed, they slowly became unmindful of the world. Wasn't even there. If we're honest with ourselves, verse 15 is a very foreign thought, to be completely unmindful. But it's where we need to be headed. They became unmindful. And the only way I can see this is through a continued, consistent life lived, embracing the promises of God. They became unmindful. And then that unmindfulness of the world, once that had dropped out of the picture, now they desire a better country. You didn't even know it was better before. As long as you're mindful of the world, you'll never know that the things of God are better. And they're not even, they can't even be compared. But Satan makes it seem as though they can be. But they cannot even be compared. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly And up until this point, we had been seeing a view of the people here and the view of the heart of these ones as they left. As they left the world behind. And now the scriptures turn towards God. It says, "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." But what a progression. In the early days, God began to first awake us to spiritual things, and we saw them somewhat far off. A dark, distant dream, the things of God. But it became more of that. By the grace of God, by the working of the Holy Spirit, they were persuaded of them. That means they were fully convinced. But you can be fully convinced of things that you just don't like. And that can be so. And maybe that may be the case with you. There may be things in the Word of God that you have been persuaded of, but you still don't like them. They're a little painful. And then they embraced them. In several passages of Scripture, we won't turn to them, but Matthew 13:20. We'll turn to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, because we're not too far away from that. We'll read verse 5 as well, 1 Thessalonians 1. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." And I'm afraid that's happened to a lot of us. "Came not in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance," much persuasion. "As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God in much affliction," that's opposition, contrariness, "with joy." That's embracing it. When you receive it with joy. You can be persuaded of things and not necessarily embrace them. "They received it, the word of God, in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost." Embraced them. And that'll lead you to real confession. They confessed. They confessed what they were. You can only confess what you are. They confessed what they were. And now, but now, they desire. What a transformation had happened in the lives of those people. And I believe that happened through meetings like we saw this morning. There are so many things that we say we believe, but do we really? Does our life bear it out? Do we believe in prayer? We say we do, but do we really believe in prayer? We would do a lot more of it. Well, we say, "Well, when I have more time." There again, faith always works in opposition to the circumstances. So if you really believe it, if it's really your conviction, you will function in opposition to the circumstances. Do we believe pastors beginning to teach in Sunday school about the Word of God and studying the Word of God? We really don't believe this is the Word of God. Every church covenant and articles of faith there is says that this is the Word of God. Almost none really believe it. This is the Word of God. It would be altogether different to us. Oh, how we would joy in it. Oh, how we would long to sneak away with it if we believed this was the Word of God. There's so many things. We could go on forever, but ultimately, it doesn't matter if we mention them or not. We need the Holy Spirit of God to make us persuaded, cause us to embrace these things, cause us to desire these things. That is the end of it all. When we desire the things of God, oh, how we need the Lord to work. And again, that goes back to, do we believe there's a Holy Spirit? If we believe that there was a Holy Spirit, and if we believe that He was better at doing things than we are, oh, how we would beg and we would plead for the Lord to work in us. Lord, work in us. Lord, meet with us. Like Pastor said this morning, how we need a meeting every day. Every day, how we need a meeting. Oh, how I need it. How I need to be persuaded of more things. How I need to embrace more things. And become unmindful of the world and begin to desire the things of God. Do we really, truly desire the things of God? We'll stop there.